Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I recently read about a nurse who was working in an emergency room, and there was a cute little boy named Billy who had come back. He'd been in and out of the ER for about a year with what doctors had diagnosed as asthma. The source of his illness was a mystery because he hadn't had any asthma as an infant. There was no history of asthma in his family, but all the symptoms pointed to asthma. And sometimes they treated him and sent him home, but other times, because his breathing was so labored, he was admitted to the pediatric ICU. After about a year of this, Billy returned to the ER, and one of the medical interns just happened to look into Billy's nose. And that was when they found a black jelly bean. Billy's brother had put it there a year earlier. The nurse said that what came out with the jelly bean wasn't pretty. They'd been treating that little boy for the wrong condition for almost a year. And the nurse said that after that they put signs on the walls of the emergency room that said, "Look for jelly beans." Treating a problem in the wrong way can have disastrous results. That's what Jesus is talking about here in his Sermon on the Mount, our gospel lesson. Jesus was responding to people who believed that a right relationship with God was simply a matter of rules and behavior, outward things. But Jesus says that our relationship with the Lord goes way beyond those things. Way beyond things that we should or shouldn't do, our relationship with God must go much deeper because it's very much a matter of the heart. Over the centuries, the commandments of God had been interpreted by religious authorities in such a way that if you were really diligent, you could actually follow them. Essentially, what they had done is they'd built a fence around the commandments with other rules and regulations so that as long as you didn't cross that fence, you couldn't be found guilty of breaking the commandment itself. They told you such things as how many steps you could take and what kinds of knots you could tie so you wouldn't be guilty of breaking the Sabbath. There were literally hundreds of these laws that you were to keep if you were to be righteous. But it was believed that the diligent and faithful could do this. So when Jesus came on the scene, the religious leaders regularly denounced him for not following these man-made laws. And we read why in Matthew 15. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Jesus answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus was getting at the heart of the matter in our gospel reading when he said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Now, I would imagine that most of us here haven't killed somebody, at least not in the last week or so. But how perfectly do we love? Do we become selfishly angry? Do we insult? Do we hold grudges? Jesus says that these are just as sinful as something done with a Saturday night special. It's a matter of the heart. Jesus was getting at the heart of the matter when he said, "You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Jesus' society, or Jewish society in Jesus' day, was very lax on the sanctity of marriage. A man could divorce his wife if she was found guilty of having sexual relations with another man. But he could also divorce her if she was sharp-tongued, disrespectful to him, or even if she burned his dinner, on purpose at least. And to get a divorce, all a man needed was to declare in the presence of witnesses, I divorce you, 3 times. And it was done. But Jesus says that the 6th commandment is not simply a matter of outward acts. It's a matter of the heart. In our gospel reading last Sunday, the very end of that reading, which is actually right after that, comes our reading for this Sunday. So these words precede what Jesus told us today. Jesus said, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. His point is that our relationship with God is more than us keeping a set of rules. If we keep the rules outwardly, but inwardly, in our heart, we're still filled with selfish anger and bigotry and grudges, and lust and divorce and lies, our relationship with God is a sham. So I need to ask, how well are you doing at that? I can't answer for you. I can only answer for myself. See, I'm terrible at not being terrible. See, I'm okay at not killing anyone or having an affair, but I sure can't control all of the sins that pop up in my head regularly. But thankfully, God has a solution. Jesus has a solution. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Unfortunately, doing that would be like treating someone for asthma when the problem is a jelly bean. See, thankfully, that's not what Jesus is saying. Well, yes, Jesus did say that. But he's not literally telling you to blind or maim yourself. We know that because Jesus also said to his disciples, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. See, clearly, it's our heart that isn't pure. Not just our hands or eyes. Yeah, you could cut off a hand, you could pull out an eye, but what do you do with your heart? It's the heart that generates selfish and sinful thoughts and lets our temper snap and those hurtful words come out. What Jesus is really saying is this. Stop making excuses. You don't have asthma. You've got a rotten heart. It's not eyes or hands that make you sin. Your heart causes sin. To be righteous, to be right with God, your heart needs to be repaired. No, it needs to be renewed, reborn. You see, even the smallest sin proves that your hearts aren't pure, and Jesus demands a pure heart. And strangely enough, Here's where the Old Testament reading this morning helps us. I mean, what's the Old Testament have to do with the gospel? First, we need to hear a verse that came before the reading that we heard this morning. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. It's important, very important to see and to look carefully here at what God says. He didn't say, go out and circumcise your hearts, as though it's something we can do by our own strength or will. See, God doesn't leave it up to choice or chance. Moses says, God will circumcise your heart. God will accomplish that which he requires. Left to our sinful, selfish self, we can't obey the Lord. So he must cut off the hardness of our hearts in order to produce in us any sort of longing and loving to do his will or obey his commandments. And he does that by sending his son to die on the cross. You see, Jesus' atonement for our sins delivers us from God's punishment. Jesus was the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy, and I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. God gives us a new heart, a pure heart, a heart that desires to do his will. The Old Testament reading began with a rather shocking challenge. For this commandment I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Moses said it's not too hard for us. He's right. It's not. It's impossible. At least for us on our own. But the power that God gives enables us, in fact, compels us to live in a way that pleases him. The word is very near you, Moses declared. See, the reality is that the word is not just near you, the word is in you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the word made flesh has taken up residence in and among us. That word is in your mouth and in your heart. Jesus does his work in you through his means of grace, those things that he promises will give us what we need. In your baptism, God circumcised your heart by washing away the guilt of your sin and creating a new person formed and fashioned into the likeness of Christ. In your baptism, God assures you that you are his child, and that he will never abandon you, not even when you fail. God tells you that he isn't finished with you yet, that he is shaping you, forming you, equipping you so that you might live for him and serve him by serving others around you. You see, it's your baptism and the assurance that your forgiveness is given when you receive the Lord's Supper that enables you to turn to him and confess your weakness, your need, your daily dependence on him if you're going to be able to do anything that pleases him. It's that daily reliance on him that prays with King David, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me each and every day. See, David knew his sinfulness, but he also knew God's promise, the Spirit's promise, to forgive him and to change him. See, faith in Christ holds on to the promise that the Holy Spirit creates a clean heart, a heart that is righteous and pure, even as it lives alongside what remains of our old sinful one. A new heart that loves our neighbor, that honors our spouse, that treats others with honesty and integrity. Your righteousness before God is more than just a matter of rules and regulations, more than simply the actions of your hands or the words of your mouth. Your righteousness is always a matter of the heart, a new heart created by God. And you will fail him day after day, and he will forgive you again and again. But don't take his forgiveness lightly. Your God will continue to work in you, to change you, to empower you, to show his love to others. Amen.